This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Brady Miller. Brady is with Texas Cattle Feeders Association. We'll talk all things cattle coming up in just a moment. Speaking of cattle, USDA's first cattle inventory report for 2025 reflects a year-over-year decrease. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell.
All cows and heifers that have calved is estimated to be 37.2 million head. That's about unchanged, down fractionally from where it was last year. With beef cows making up 27.9 million head, which is down 1% from last year. The report also indicated that the calf crop in 2024 was 33.5 million head. That's about unchanged from what it was in 2023. And that the number of cattle on feed was 14.3 million head, which is down 1% from last year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Brady Miller. Brady is Director of Market, Membership, and Education with the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, TCFA. They're headquartered in Amarillo. Brady, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Yep. Thank you, Tony. Excited to be on the show with you and hope we can provide some good information for your listeners.
All right, let's start with kind of looking back into the rearview mirror, if you will. Hard to drive when you're looking in the rearview mirror, but it's always good to remember where we've been. And really, when you start looking at where we've been compared to, you know, 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it's been an amazing road. But when you recap 2024, how will we remember that year?
Yeah, so whenever we look at 2024, and we know this has been coming, that this has been what we're seeing in the markets happen. It's been a long, road to get to where we're at. And when you talk about looking all the way back 10 years, maybe a little bit more than 10 years, but it's history that we got to look at, because if we don't remember history, then the future can sneak up and bite us. But whenever I talk about looking at the past, I'm talking about looking at the drought back in 11 and 12, and how did the markets react coming out of that drought? And what did we do as we were coming out of that drought? Now, I can sit here and tell you that by no means is coming out of that drought is similar to what we're seeing today. But as we move forward, we had another significant drought in 22-23. And so, but we still got to look back at 11-12 and say, okay, this is what we did. This is what happened. These were the numbers that we looked at coming out of 11-12 as we rebuilt the herd and we saw record prices at the time. Going full speed about 10 years ahead to the 22-23 drought, and what are we doing there? And are we going to react similar, or are we going to be somewhere close? I'm going to say and tell you it's similar. Not exact, but it is close to what we saw then is what we're probably going to see now. And so when you look at and you ask where are we at in 2024 and what are we going to be remembered for in 2024? Of course, in 2024, we hit some record prices. I call it a yo-yo. I mean, we hit those record prices. We dropped back down and then we would bounce right back and hit and test or not break a new record. And so with that being said, it all comes down to cow herd size and inventory in the country. Of course, we're fixing to see our new inventory prices, or not prices, but report that comes out here tomorrow afternoon, and that's going to tell us a lot. But when you harvest, or when we lose a million head of cows out of the marketplace coming out of the drought of 2022-2023, it's going to have a significant effect on the markets moving forward.
And I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. One thing that's, I would say, different if we look back to that historic drought that we had at the time, and obviously we lost a packing plant in Plainview, Texas, south there of Amarillo. A big difference from an outsider looking in is we now have beef on dairy. We've got that beef dairy cross that's worked its way. Has that been helpful for the market?
So, Tony, it has been significant for the feed yards in the U.S. When we talk about beef on dairy. If we compare and we look back at what we saw in 11-12, we replaced a lot of those animals with Holstein animals, especially in the South, in the feed yards in the South. This time it wasn't Holsteins, it was beef on dairy. So we're still talking about dairy that came in, especially for the feed yards in the South, and filled that gap. And then the other piece of this that we're going to talk about and cannot, go too far in this discussion without talking about Mexican cattle crossing the border in the South and the significant part that they play in that gap stop as well.
Well, let's carry that conversation through to where we are today. And, as of late, we've not had those Mexican cattle coming in because of the New World screwworm. But we hear kind of rumblings that it could start back up. So let's throw that into the conversation to where we are now, plus the fact that we're also looking at record high cash prices all across the country. So where would you describe the location we are at right now?
Yeah. So if we look back at 2024 and we're talking about the Mexican animal coming across the border, we were on track to have record large Mexican cattle crossing into the U.S. before the New World screwworm closed the border in November. That curtailed that amount of animals that were coming across. So we did not meet that record amount, but typically on average, we probably feed somewhere in the U.S. somewhere between 1 million to 1.2 million Mexican animals on feed. We have been as low as about 850,000. Back in 2014, I think it was, we were at 1.45 million, and we were on track to hit the 1.5 million head of Mexican animals crossing the border, which, again, was going to benefit us. As in making sure that because we lost the million head of cows during the drought of 22-23, kind of like the beef on dairy, it was going to fill that gap and help us get through the time of having fewer native animals. But with the border closing in November, December, I think it has made a huge effect on the markets of where we're at today. Were we in the 190s, 192, 193, 194 range? Were we bumping up, the $2 range? Yes, we were. But I think whenever that border closed and we had fewer of those animals coming across, I think that was one of the nails in the coffin. And I shouldn't say nails in the coffin, but that was one of the effects that shot this market higher. And that's what we're seeing today, and we'll continue to see that. Now, you made the comment that the rumor is that the border is going to open sometime soon. We've been hearing that for the last 3 weeks, I think, or last month. Is that okay? The borders are going to open in a week. Borders are going to open in a week. And we have yet to see that. We're getting closer every day in getting that done. The pens in Mexico cattle have to be held and inspected before they come across. Many of those have passed their test as far as meeting the requirements when it comes to the New World screwworm. But today we're waiting on some paperwork to be signed and filed. So when we're talking about the Mexican government and the U.S. government, I mean, that's kind of what's holding this thing up, and that's what we're waiting on.
All right. Let's kind of step forward now. We've looked at where we've been, looked at where we are today. And I know that this is probably an impossible question to answer, but just kind of looking down the road, and it may be the rest of this year, it may be a couple of years down the road, but you made the comment, if we don't remember where we've been, we're going to have a hard time navigating where we're going. So look down the road. What do you see coming?
Yeah, so the longer the border stays closed on the South, it just means fewer animals are coming across. And we have not yet started a rebuilding phase after the last drought of 22-23. We're still waiting to see us to bottom out and rebuild this thing and start in the rebuilding phase. And what I can sit here and tell you, based off what we learned in the last drought of 11 and 12, which acted differently. I mean, that was a super fast down and it was a super fast up. They call it a V bottom. This one is more of what they call a saucer bottom because it's been prolonged. And I think one of the reasons why this has been prolonged, looking at what we're looking at today and looking forward, is because of the high prices that these animals are bringing. So one of the things that we watch and we look at very heavily to tell us if we're in a rebuilding phase or not is how many heifers do we have on feed. And so from the time that we start seeing the heifers on feed drop significantly, what I can tell you is it takes about, well, what it took last time was about 18 months to 2 years before we actually bottomed out and we saw the high prices before we started going the other direction back in 15, 16.
Glad you brought up the heifers on feed, because one person that I know watches that really closely is Dr. Darrell Peel over at Oklahoma State. And the last chart I saw him reference, he just said, we're starting to see a trend, but we don't have enough indication yet to make that projection. So I guess at this point, we know what can happen. We just don't know when yet.
Yes, and Dr. Pill, I mean, he's an excellent economist. He watches these graphs, and I would never, ever sit here and say that that anything other than what he would tell you. But what I will tell you, based off of our internal data, now he's looking at national data. I'm gonna kind of zero in on the TCFA three-state area and the information that we collect every month. What I will tell you for the industry in the South, that, and I'm going to look back at history again. You're going to get tired of me talking about the drought of 11 and 12, but I feel like we have to look at that to kind of have an idea of what we might be seeing now. So if we go back to 11 and 12, when we bottomed out, well, let me start here. Typically in our three-state area, we typically run about 41% heifers on feed. That is a normal range. That's typically what the split is, 41% heifers on feed, 59% steers on feed. What I can tell you for the last 2 or 3 months is that we have been running in the low 30s. We've been running around 33% heifers on feed. Now, am I going to sit here and tell you that that means that we're in a deep rebuilding phase? I don't think I'm comfortable enough to sit here and tell you that, but we're getting close, and it's been a couple of months here that we've been running in that low 30 range that I'm getting pretty comfortable to say, okay, now we're getting to the point in the South, at least, that I feel like we're probably more in a rebuilding phase now than what I could have sat here and told you 2 months ago.
Brady, always great to visit with you. Thanks for popping by. Brady Miller is Director of Market Membership and Education with the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, TCFA, in Amarillo, online, tcfa.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today is Brady Miller. Brady, with Texas Cattle Feeders.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Brady Miller, Texas Cattle Feeders, online, tcfa.org.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA Trade Show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The first USDA Agricultural Prices Received Index for 2025 shows for the final month of 2024, producers in total received over 5% more for their commodities than the previous month. The month-over-month increase was driven by an over 8% rise in the December Livestock Production Index, and that was driven by a 24% increase in what poultry and egg producers received price-wise, offsetting monthly declines in prices received by meat animals and dairy producers. Turning to the crop production index, the 1.8% decrease from November is reflected in lower prices for most crop commodity categories, offsetting an over 4% increase in what corn and other feed grain growers received price-wise. Producers in December, meanwhile, paid 0.7% more for inputs and services than the prior month. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.